Thank you so much for joining us on the River City Church podcast. If you're blessed by this message today, we would love to hear from you. Check out our website at rivercitychurch.cc and let us know what God is doing in your life. If you would like to support this ministry financially, click the giving link on our website and choose the best option for you. Thank you again for joining us today. We hope you enjoy the message.
Good to see you. If you have your Bible on you this morning, I want you to go ahead and open it up. Go ahead and take your Bible, begin to open it up to John chapter 15. We're going to go to John chapter 15, and we'll start reading in verse 1. And once you find your place, or if you use a smartphone, I use a phone or a computer most all week long whenever I'm reading, and I bring out the leather bound on Sunday morning when I preach to you. This is kind of like a prop, I guess. I use it digital most of the time. But let's do this. Let's make a confession of our faith this morning. If you got your phone there or your Bible there, I want you to grab it. Let's go old school for a second. How many of y'all believe the words of our mouth, they matter? What we say out loud, it matters. Let's say some stuff that matters this morning. So go ahead and take your Bible, hold it up. You ought to say this. You ought to say this out loud. Say, this is my Bible. Or you could say, this is my neighbor's Bible if you can get it away from them. All right. This is my Bible. It is the word of God. It's a lamp unto my feet, a light unto my path. I'll hide this word in my heart, that I might not sin against God. Faith comes by hearing, hearing by the word of God. Today I hear, and my faith grows in Jesus' mighty name. Come on, somebody say amen. Hey, I want to talk to you, and I'm going to begin preaching for a while about what God's produced you to be in life. And every person in this room and every person on this earth, you are not here by accident. You're not just some cosmic mistake or something that climbed out of the primordial soup. You are here because of a reason. You're here because of a purpose. You are here by divine design. And what I believe about every child born on the earth, I believe that every child born through the womb of a woman has value. Somebody say amen to that. It ought to have a chance to live out its destiny and its course. Somebody say amen to that. And I believe that every child born on the earth really is a word from God. That child is a word from heaven sent to produce something on the earth. If you believe that, go ahead and give the Lord a hand clap this morning. Come on. We value life. We value children. We value those who are yet to come. Somebody say amen. And if you look, the more we learn about the design and the code of our DNA and what we're made out of and how the human body works, the more we see the glory of God in its fullness. On the inside of every DNA strand in our body, there is a code. And if there is a code, how many know there must be a coder? If there is a design, there must be a designer. Somebody say amen to that. And the code gets so specific. It tells your hair what color it should be, what color your eyes should be, whether your tongue is flat or you can roll your tongue. How many of you out there can roll your tongue? You got that tongue roll thing going on. How many flat tongue, my brothers and sisters? Let me see you out there. I'm a flat tongue guy. You know, some of you can bend your joints backwards. You're double jointed. We have any double jointed people out there? That's in your genetic code. Now I'll tell you, your code is specific. Your code is different than anybody else's. And it just speaks of the glory and the goodness and the nature of God. And in your code, your gifting is written up in your code. Some of you have a musical ability. We could set you down and you could pick up an instrument in no time. Some of you are absolutely tone deaf. I've sat by you in worship and I pray for people who have to hear you singing in the shower. Somebody say amen to that. It's all in the genetic code. Some of you are handy. You build. You're good with your hands. We give you wood, we give you a few tools, and you make something beautiful. Some of you are like me. You can't get the chain back on the kid's bicycle. You have none of that gifting. All of that is somewhat genetic. Much of it's nature, some of it's nurture. But how many know we're sent to produce something? And here's what God wants out of each and every one of us. He wants to take your life and to make it fruitful. And the more fruitful we are as believers, the more glory God gets on the earth. Let me say that again. The more fruitful we are as believers, the more glory God gets on the earth. Let me say it one more time. The more fruitful we are as believers, the more glory God gets on the earth. Jesus talked about this, and he talked about it through the analogy of a vineyard. Jesus never spoke or never taught without a story. And we're wired by humanity to teach through stories and to listen to stories. I watch, if I sit up here and I just teach straight scripture, you'll begin to Twitter, you'll begin to Facebook. If I'm just line on line, precept on precept, and never break it up with a story, people, they start to disappear. Your attention goes elsewhere. Jesus saw that, and so everything he taught with a parable. He taught with an analogy, a story to grab our attention. And the story we have in John 15 is the story of the vineyard and the vine dresser. John 15, verse 1, if you're there this morning, go ahead and say, uh-huh. Here's some things I want you to see about the culture of Israel. The culture of Israel was a culture that was into its grapes, into the fruit of the vine. As a matter of fact, Israel was called God's vineyard many times. God told Israel, I'm going to take you to a land that flows with milk and honey. And there were promises of grape cluster there. Grapes and fruit of the vine is a symbol of the blessing and productivity in your life all throughout the scripture. So much that it was a symbol that they adorned the gates going into the temple in the center of Israel with massive golden vine. And there were grapes hanging off of that golden vine. Would it cost millions and millions of dollars to produce this that were as large as a person? So every time the Jew went up to the temple to worship, they would walk through the gates and they would see this massive golden vine and these unbelievable grapes as big as a man. Jesus takes that symbol. He's coming off of the Temple Mount. He's coming out of what was supposed to be the vineyard that would produce fruit for Israel. And he begins to speak out of something that his disciples have just seen. He's using the story to grab their attention. He says this, verse 1, 15 verse 1. He says, I am the true vine, and my Father is the vine dresser. Every branch in me that does not bear fruit, he takes away. And every branch that bears fruit, he prunes, that it may bear more fruit. You are already clean because of the word which I have spoken to you. Abide in me, and I in you. As the branch cannot bear fruit of itself unless it abides in the vine, neither can you unless you abide in me. Somebody say amen to that. I am the vine, you are the branches. He who abides in me and I in him bears much fruit. For without me, you can do nothing. If anyone does not abide in me, he is cast out as a branch and is withered. And they gather them and throw them into the fire, and they are burned. If you abide in me and my words abide in you, you will ask what you desire, and it shall be done for you. By this my Father is glorified, that you bear much fruit. So you will be my disciples. Think about it. Jesus has his disciples. They've just been up to the temple, and he's walking off from the Temple Mount. He knows they know all about the culture of the vineyard, and they've seen the big golden grapes. As a matter of fact, the gold was so thick on the front of the temple, it would light up whenever the sun hit it, and it would create an unbelievable glow that would draw people from around the region. He walks off from something like that. They know that the temple is the vineyard. They know that it's a symbol of the power and the blessing of God, and he turns around to them, and he says this. He says, that temple on that hill will no longer be your vine, because that vine is shifting from an old covenant to a new covenant. And then Jesus turns around to his disciples and he says, I am the true vine. The vine is the thing that brings life. Come on, the vine is the thing that brings nutrients. The vine is the thing that brings oxygen. The vine is the thing that brings everything you need to produce fruit. Come on, we have the true vine by the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth in us and on us and around us. We have a vine that we need. Come on, let's worship the vine this morning. Is anybody thankful for the life of the I am? I am that I am. I am the true vine. Come on, somebody. We've got a vine that's helping us and lifting us. See, he's the true vine. Everybody say true vine. Man, a lot of people look to a lot of things to try to find sustenance and life and fulfillment. And if he had to say, I am the true vine, how many think that that might mean that there is also a what? There's a false vine. And in the vineyard, actually, there's a false vine that would grow in vineyards. It does it in America, and it did it in Israel back in the day. And it looks very close to the real vine, but it's not the real thing. And if you weren't the trained eye, if you hadn't been around real vine, not knowing what it was, how many know you might pull up the false vine or look at the false vine and think it's real and let it grow right with the real true vine? Do I have any gardeners out there in the house today? Anybody that doesn't kill anything? Jesse and I, we bought a cactus that died last week. So we're not the people to take care of anything with vegetation. It's not my gift. But somebody that's really good, they can come in early in the spring. They can look at what's growing in a garden, and they can take care of that garden and know what to pull and what to leave. But how many know if you turn like some 16-year-old boys loose in your flower garden? Come on, somebody. And they'll get out there and they won't know the difference between a weed and something that's good. And they'll pull up the good and they'll leave the bad. And I'm telling you, so many people are like that in life. And it's our nature as humans to be looking for fulfillment. You know, there's a God-shaped void on the end of every person, every man, every woman, every child that nothing else will fill. But we're looking for fulfillment. Was listening to U2 the other day. I'm a U2 fan. I have been for years. And Bono's famous song, "I Still Haven't Found What I'm Looking For." Who doesn't like that? I mean, that's such a great song, so well written. Bono says some things in there that'll get your attention. He says some things, and he's been around us. As a matter of fact, I think he's fully converted at the end of his life. But earlier on when he wrote this song, he said things like this. He wrote lyrics like this. And I love poets. I love writers and songwriters. He said, "I've spoke with the tongue of angels. I've held the hand of the devil." He goes on and he says, "You carried the cross. You broke my shame. You carried the cross. You broke the shame of my sin off my life. You know I believe it." But he goes on and he says, "But I still haven't found what I'm looking for." Now, thank God, Bono's found what he's looking for. I saw him do an interview and he said, "Jesus is the Messiah, the Son of the living God." Come on, let's give God a hand clap for some people out there in that kind of entertainment world that are one of us. Come on, somebody. One of us. That doesn't mean we believe everything they believe, but how many of y'all are thankful for some people that believe that Jesus is Messiah and you want to work with them to see the world come to know Christ? Let's give God one more hand clap for that. We're that kind of people. I'm for them that are for Jesus. And but so many people, they're like that they're close. They see true vine, but false vine also has them. They're right there running together. They're looking for fulfillment. Now, I've been there. I thought I could find. I mean, I was raised in the church around the vine. And as a kid, I started to look at the false vine. Now, I would look at what goes on in the church, and I would look at what goes on in the world. And I would look at that false vine, and I'd say, maybe that false vine has something that I need. And I'll tell you what, I got myself wrapped up in it, and I found myself empty, because a false vine never has the capability to produce real fruit in your life. I see people looking for relationships to fulfill them. You ever see a lady or maybe a man? They gotta find a spouse. Any spouse will do. You ever see that set on somebody? Gotta find a man. Any man will do. Then they finally catch the man. They start dating the man. They're around the man. They bring the man in one day. They always want pastor to meet the man. And so man comes up and meets pastor. And it's like, "Pastor, I want you to meet my man." And I'm like, "Oh, it's good to meet you." And then I'll ask them at some point, "Is he a Christian man?" And they'll say, "Well, I don't know. It hadn't come up." I'm like, "What do you mean it hadn't come up? How's it not come up? The Bible's very clear that an unbeliever never should marry a believer, and a believer should never marry an unbeliever." Come on, somebody. How does that not come up? Here's what you do. If you're with somebody or you're dating somebody, the first date you ought to have with them is you ought to bring them to the house of God. You ought to bring them to church. And you ought to watch how they respond in worship. Come on. Let's watch them. Whenever the music comes on, whenever the anointing starts moving, let's see what they do. Come on. I'm not getting on to you if you don't put your hands up, but are there hands up? Huh? Are they worshipers? And if you're freaked out about lifting your hands, here's another move. You can hold the baby in worship, all right? Hold the baby. Hold the baby, hold the baby. It's a little less aggressive than this, right? You feel better about it. And you have this move instead of this move, right? But is the person a person that's in tune with the things of God? If they're not, I've seen it happen so many times. The issues come up. This person's looking for fulfillment, so they hook up with anybody they can hook up with. And then 6 months, a year down the road, they're calling, wanting somebody to talk to them, somebody to counsel them. Their life is hell now. How many know that no spouse at all is better than being married to an idiot? Somebody give God a hand clap if you think that's good preaching, young people, I'm telling you. And middle-aged people and old people alike. It's good preaching. Because listen, a false vine just won't give you life. But the true vine has abundant life. The true vine will never let you down. The true vine will lift you and produce in your life. I promise you, you stay in the vine, you'll become the most fruitful version of yourself you could ever be. Jesus says, I'm the true vine. He goes on and he says, my Father is the vine dresser. If you're going to have a vineyard, you got to take care of it. Going to plant a garden, you got to watch that garden and see what happens with that garden. Here's the great thing about our God is our God is invested with us. Listen, a vine dresser, if you watch guys that run vineyards, it is a labor of love. It's labor intensive. It's different than other agricultural endeavors. They have to be there. They have to have an eye on that thing. They have to watch it. It requires more pruning. It requires more tending. It's not like planting corn or soybeans. It's a totally different kind of life and world. And often it's less financially even productive in America now than a lot of the other things. And here's what that vine dresser will have to do. He's got to watch that vineyard. He's got to be all about that vineyard. He's got to watch out for frost. He's got to watch out for fake vine. He's got to watch out for parasites. He's got to watch out for everything coming after his produce. The Bible says that the Father is the vine dresser. Isn't it good to know that the God of heaven is looking over our life to make sure that we produce fruit? Is anybody thankful that God doesn't save us just to set us aside, but he saves us to tend us and keep us and watch us and nurture us, and he's lifting you and helping you and feeding you, and he's fighting against your enemy. So he wants to see your life produce fruit. I'm telling you, he's a good father. It's like a father that has a child, but then sticks with the child. It's with that child as an infant, with that child as a toddler. Come on, with that child when they go through those awkward junior high years. How many know you had that cute little kid and it became a junior high and you're like, what just happened to our child? My Lord, will this ever be over? Come quickly, Lord Jesus. Or could we just jumpstart up to 17 or something right now? Huh? You know, a past 17, they're saying right now. 25. Come on, that's the magic number, isn't it? But a good father stays through all of the stages. It's just like a vine dresser. He's watching, he's going to tend it, he's going to keep it. He's going to make sure things happen, right? He says this about the father that's the vine dresser. He says, every branch that does not bear fruit, here's what it says in your text, he takes away. He takes away. But you know what that means in the original language? You can almost think if you're not bearing fruit that he's just going to pull it out, he's going to be done with you. How many know God's not the kind of God that just goes ripping you out of the ground the first time you don't produce fruit? He's a God of all grace. He's a God of mercy. He's a God of love. He's a God that gives us chance after chance after chance after chance. Do you ever see people that were almost so worthless in life you wonder why God puts up with them? I'm being honest out here. It's because he is long-suffering. He's loving. And how many of you are thankful that when you were worthless, he put up with us when we were worthless? Come on, somebody. He keeps putting up with us when we have worthless days, right? Here's what it says in the original language. Every branch that does not bear fruit, instead of it meaning takes away, it means he lifts up. He lifts them up. Everybody say he lifts them up. Here's what happens with a vineyard. Rain will come. You're talking about a soil that's different, that gets mud and mucky. It's kind of like West Texas soil, a lot of it over around Israel. And the rain will fall and the vine will get down in the muck. And then the muck will get hard and it'll encapsulate the vine. And the mud will get on top of the vine. And if mud gets on top of the vine where they're trying to produce grapes, it can't produce fruit. Because all of that muck, all of that mud holds it down where the life can't get to it. And so what a loving vineyard and a vine dresser will do is he'll come and he'll get down with great precision. He's not just pulling it up. It says he lifts it up. Can't you see the Father getting down on his knees? Can't you see the vine dresser getting down and somebody caught in the mud and the muck of this world? and then begin to tenderly, lovingly pull it up and out of the dirt. I'm telling you, you got a father that will lovingly and tenderly pull you up out of the muck and the dirt and the sin and the trouble that we get ourselves in. He won't leave us in that muck. He's going to pull us out. He's going to lift us up where we can have life in abundance. He didn't leave you in that muck. Come on. He's pulled you up and put your feet upon a rock. Somebody give God a hand clap in here. He's worthy. He'll tenderly, lovingly pull you up. And what they would do in the East is then there's stones everywhere in the soil. So it makes for a good tool. They don't build with wood. People talk about Jesus being a carpenter, working with wood all the time. We'd have to travel a long way to find wood. What he was working with is he's working with stone. He's a tecton or a mason is what he was. And so what these vine dressers, they'd find rock everywhere. And he'd pick up the rock and he'd turn a flat rock up on its side. And take that vine and lay it over the rock where it wouldn't go back down into the mud. I'm telling you, your life's been laid over the rock now. Whenever you call on the name of Jesus. And that mud and that muck and that thing that held you down and kept you from producing, it can't have you anymore because the Father is going to lovingly lift you up. He goes on in the vine dresser. He's lifting up those that are caught in the mud. That's what church is about. Do you know that? We're here and a lot of us in the room right now, we're caught in the mud. We're not producing the fruit that we're called to produce yet. But I'm telling you, God's not done with us, and he hadn't cast us aside. And the people that come in the church, and they're all messed up, and they're just looking for some answers. I've been you, and I'm telling you, I'm not perfect yet either. And here's the thing. There's room for people that are caught in the muck in here. There's room for people that are producing fruit in here. There's room for people that just started growing in here. There's room for every type of person at River City Church. We don't want perfect people. We want people God's calling. Come on, somebody give God a hand clap. If you want us to be, I want us to be that kind of church. The vine dresser lifts us up. The next thing he says is every branch that bears fruit, he prunes. Everybody say he prunes. Says he prunes it that it may bear more fruit. Every branch that bears fruit, he prunes that it may bear more fruit. If you're fruitful in life, God's going to prune you so you can bear more fruit. I don't know that I like that, but I like the bearing more fruit. Somebody say amen to that. There are seasons in life that it feels like everything, and if you're in a season like this right now, I'm happy for you. There are seasons in life where it's like everything is working with ease. They are few and far between in life, but how many of you have ever had a season like that where it's just like for a short season, things were easy? Nobody out there has had a season like that. Come on, let me see it. For a short season, you really had some things cooking, and you're just like, man, stuff's working. How many know whenever you're bearing fruit like that, you can start to think that that's going to be every season for the rest of your life? But how many know in a vineyard, there are seasons that the vine produces grapes, and there are seasons where you have to cultivate the vine. There's a reason for every season in our life. That rhymes, and it's cliche, and it's a preacher-sounding thing, but how many know it's true? Come on, somebody say there's a reason. There's a reason when you're producing fruit. It's for the glory of God. And there's a reason when you're being cultivated. It's for the glory of God. Come on, somebody. There's a reason when they're pulling the fruit off of you, and there's a reason when you're being pruned. And getting pruned is painful, but it's necessary to bear more fruit. So what the vine dresser does is he goes and he finds the places that really produce fruit, and he doesn't want the old dead things to hang on the vine and stop it from producing maximum fruit. If you have old things, things that have outlived what their productivity in the vineyard, something from last season that's still hanging on, that doesn't belong in your life in this season. What the vine dresser does is he comes by and he prunes the old off, that there's room for the new, and that the old doesn't steal the nutrients and the time and the energy, so that what really produces gets what it's called to get, and it can bring forth fruit in your life. You know, if you keep hanging on to the things from the last season of your life, and hanging on to that which produced last year and the year before that and 5 years ago and 10 years ago, how many know if you're holding on to the old, you might never get into the new that God has for you? And whenever you hold on to the old and you just stay there and you won't go forward and you won't look forward, you start to become weird, attached to the past instead of producing in the future. What does a person that hasn't been pruned look like? Well, it's kind of like a guy. Think about this. When I was 18 years old, I played ball, And I enjoyed it. It was a good season of life. And because I went to a small school, a 2A school, how many of you could walk, you had two eyes and half a brain, you can play ball at a 2A school, right? You guys from Owensboro, from bigger school, it was harder for you. But in Webster County, we needed somebody with a pulse to play ball, all right? That's all we needed. Anybody come from a school like that, we're looking for anybody with a pulse to come out for our ball squad. And so if you were like that, you got to play. And so I happened to get to letters starting my sophomore year. I was 135 pounds, 5'5", offensive guard. How many know they're recruiting those to all kinds of D1 schools, right? It's like the scouts are out looking. We're looking for a guard. It's about 5'4", weighs about 130 pounds. It's going to be an animal. Thank God I grew. I weighed 185 pounds the next year and almost 200 by my senior year. And at the rate I'm going, I'll weigh 400 pounds in another 10 years right now. I got to gain. But I got to letter my sophomore year, and I got to letter my junior year, and I lettered my senior year. Most of us, we played both ways, and, you know, that was just ball in small town. And so back then, it was a cool thing to have your letterman jacket on, huh? To show those bars. Y'all remember what I'm talking about? Didn't you feel cool strutting down the hallway when you got that new bar on? Or maybe you finally got a 200-pound bench and you got to put it on there, you know, as a kid. You got to put it on there, 200-pound bench. And man, people are looking at you, and the guys that didn't have letters on your jacket, you're like, what's up, loser? You know, that's just the way it was back then. So it was kind of good for a season. And it was cool for a season. But how many know if you got a guy for it? What if I walked out here this morning wearing my letterman jacket from my senior year? Now I'm like, what's up? I play ball, you know? Y'all are gonna look at like, this guy's the village idiot right here. Look at him. Why? Because something that should have already been cut out of his life, he forgot about it. That season is over and dead. Come on, somebody. Nobody cares that you played ball when you were a sophomore or a junior or a senior. You're a 45, 50, 60-year-old man. It's gotten weird now. It's time to let it be cut off and to move forward into the next phase of life. Jesse and I went to a ministry. It was a fundraising event. It's really what it was. We were there in support of a missions group. And there was a guy at the table that seated across from us. And I'm like, man, something's odd about this brother. I don't know what it is. You ever get around somebody and say, like, something just doesn't feel right here? Can't put my finger on it, but it's not right. All right, you feel that? Christian, that's the Spirit of God warning you. Right? And so as the night goes on, the guy's almost 60 years old. He pulls out his phone and starts showing us pictures of him when he's a senior in high school playing ball. And when he played college ball, and I'm like, brother, it's time to cut the old and move on to the new. Here's what God wants to do. Whenever we bear fruit, God wants to prune us. He wants to cut off the old to move into the new. Why? So we can bear more fruit. But pruning is painful. That's why so many people won't allow it to happen. They hold on to old relationships that should have been gone decades ago because they don't want to go through the pain of the pruning. And whenever they won't be pruned, they'll never produce the kind of fruit they're supposed to produce. Whenever God starts pruning you, you don't know what it is most of the time. I bet many of you have been here before. Here's what it's like. God starts pruning you, and at first you're like, this is an attack of the devil. This is demonic. I bind you, Beelzebub. You go back to the pit of hell where you came from. You have no authority in this house. And it's not the devil. And then you'll go on, you'll think, if you're a Christian, you're raised in this kind of church, you're like, I must have left an open door for the devil in my house. How many ever go through that in your mind? You're like, what if I got, I'll tell you what, I should have thrown that old rock album away. I should have burned it, and this wouldn't be happening in my life right now. But that's not what it is. You're being pruned. Although there are some things you should throw away, but you're probably just being pruned. And I'll tell you what, when you get pruned, you get cut. And here's when you start getting pruned. He says, every branch that bears fruit, he prunes. You don't get pruned in life till you start bearing fruit, because you can't handle the cuts until you're strong enough to be fruitful. Then when you start getting fruitful, you start getting cut, and it hurts, it's painful. You don't know why it's happening. A lot of times you're like, why did you start cutting me now? I just started bearing some fruit. Some things just started happening. I just got some momentum here. We just hit another gear and now I'm getting cut. Why am I getting cut? Why did you cut that person out of my life? Why did you take away my job? Why did the economy just crash? Why am I being pruned like this? Every branch that bears fruit, he prunes that it may bear more fruit. Every cut that comes from the Father comes with great precision, and it comes not to destroy you. It comes to make you better. It doesn't come to bury you. It comes to bless you. It doesn't come to kill you. It comes to comfort you, and it's going to take you higher in life. You ought to embrace the pruning season because you're going to bear more fruit in the next season of life. What's funny is God won't prune what you want him to prune out of your life. He'll typically take what you want to hold on to. And you're like, God, why did you cut that out of my life? I had some suggestions of some people you could cut out of my life anytime, but you didn't do it that way. You did it your way. And he says this, if you can last through the pruning, the next thing he says, you're clean because the word that's spoken over you. Come on, let's give God a hand clap for the word of God. It's cleaning us right now. Our mind's getting clean. I feel cleaner just right here in the presence of God, preaching the word of God. So we're getting clean from it. Come on, somebody say amen to that. Then he goes on and he says, abide in me. Everybody say abide in him. What does it mean to abide? It means to take up habitation, to dwell, and to stay in him. The greatest temptation of the person being pruned is this, to jump out of the vine because it hurts. So he says, right after I pruned you, you've got to abide. I'm here to tell you, church, if you'll get a staying power and you'll abide in Jesus, come on, somebody, you'll abide in the vine, you'll abide in his things, you'll be a branch that allows him just to wrap itself around you again and again and again and again. If you abide, if you take up habitation in his presence, in his word, in his things, in his life, I'm telling you, you'll become more fruitful than you've ever been in life. He said, abide in me and I'll abide in you. And you can ask what you desire and it'll be done for you. And he said, by this, I'm glorified that you bear much fruit. I don't know about you, but I want to abide in the vine at a higher level than I've ever lived before. Come on, somebody, let's give the vine, let's give the life a big hand clap. Let's worship him. Why don't you stand on your feet and worship him today? Let him know you're going to abide in him. Come on, come on. Don't stop clapping. Let's worship him. Let him know by faith you're going to abide in him. Come on, somebody might want to lift up your voice. Let him know you're going to abide in him. Lord, we're saying we're going to abide in you. We want to stay in you. We don't care what happens. Father, I thank you. I thank you that you're lifting people today. I declare that there's some branches in here and you're not producing fruit. If y'all just stay with me for a few more moments. You're not producing fruit. Some branches in there. I'm telling you, he's going to tenderly lift you up. He's going to tenderly lift you up so you can begin to bear fruit. Some of you are being pruned at another level, and it's tough. Going through a tough season. It's cutting season. Season of tearing away. But I'm telling you what, he cuts back so something new, something fresh can grow, something stronger. I declare the strength of God is going to flow into your life. Come on, just lift a hand to heaven. Let me pray for you. Father, I pray for your vineyard. Lord, the church, these people, they're your vineyard. You love your vineyard. You tend your vineyard. You keep your vineyard. You're a loving vine dresser. Lord, right now we just lift our hands to heaven and we say we submit to the vine dresser. Do whatever you need to do. Have your way. Have your will. Have your life in us. We only want you. We want more of you. Cut off the things that need to be cut off. Cut off the self-righteousness. Cut off the spiritual arrogance. Lord, cut off the sin and the holding on to the things of the flesh. Lord, we declare we want more of you. We want all those things cut off. So we want to bear real fruit. So, Father, I declare we're coming in to the most fruitful season of our life. We give ourselves to the vine dresser's hand. We give ourselves to his plan. We say, you are the potter. We are the clay. You are the vine dresser. We are simply the branch. So, Lord, you do what you will. Have your way in the name of Jesus. Lord, I pray now for the anointing of God, the blessing of God to rest upon every person in this room. Just take it by faith. I'm telling you, the blessing of God, it's going to rest on your life. There's a touch on this house that's coming on you right now. If If you'll receive it by faith, you ought to pull that blessing. Generational blessing is coming on you and your tribe. Going to bear supernatural fruit. Now listen, if you're out there under the sound of my voice and you're not right with Jesus, you say, Pastor, I'm not right with Jesus. I'm not abiding in the vine. I don't even know Jesus. Or maybe I knew him years ago, but I made some decisions to leave that life a long time ago, and I need to rededicate my life. Listen, if you're out there and that's you and you say, Pastor, I need that in my life. I need a touch from heaven. I need Christ. I need to repent of my sins. I need to call on his name. If every head bowed, every eye closed, if you're out there and you say, Pastor, I need Jesus this morning. I need to be saved. What must I do to be saved? Listen, Christ died for you on the cross. Shed blood for your sins. If you'll repent of your sins and call on the name of the Lord, he'll forgive you, he'll save you, he'll give you a brand new start. Whenever I count to three, here's what I want you to do. If you want to pray a prayer to receive Jesus, I'm going to give you the words to pray, but you're going to have to give it the meaning. Now I want you to lift your hand up when I count to three if you want to be included in this prayer so I know who I'm praying with. One, don't put it off. Two, this is your moment. Come on, three, just lift up that hand. Pastor, pray for me. Include me in this prayer. I need Christ. Pastor, I need to rededicate my life. I see that hand right there. Anyone else? I've got one more moment for you. Pastor, include me in that prayer. We see you right there. God bless you. Anybody else? I've got one more. I see you in that. I see you. God bless you. Anybody else? Pastor, include me in this prayer. Include me in this prayer. I need Christ. Well, those of you that have lifted your hand, here's what I want to do. I want to lead you in this prayer. I'm going to give you the words. You give it the meaning. God's going to do the saving. Come on, let's pray this out loud with them. Pray this loud enough you can hear yourself pray. Say this. Say, Father, I'm a sinner. I've lived for myself. I've done my own thing. But today, I repent of my sin. I turn from my sin to Jesus. I believe on his death, on his burial, on his resurrection for my salvation. Come into my heart. Save me. Forgive me. Fill me with your spirit. I boldly declare that Jesus is my God. Thank you, Father, for saving me in Jesus' mighty name. Amen, amen, amen. Come on, let's give God a hand clap. Hey, just look at your neighbor. Tell them, abide in the vine. Abide in the vine. Tell them that. Listen, if you prayed that prayer, there's a card in the back of the seat. If you'd fill it out and let me know about the decision you made, take it to the Next Steps booth. I'm going to give you some resources. We're so glad you're here. Hey, we can't wait to see you Wednesday night. Stay out of trouble. We love you. Come on, keep your gloves up. God bless you. You're dismissed.